Steve, first of all, weekend off. How did you spend that weekend?
Walking. You had it off. Watching football matches on my pro licence course. So, fortunately, the Scottish Football Association excused me today to be here to help prepare the team for Bolton. Otherwise, I'd still be on that course. But, yeah, a workman-like weekend. But as always, very enjoyable.
Are you looking to strengthen at the moment? Are you close to anybody? I think you said recently you had a couple of bids in. Any word back on those?
No, I think I'm waiting to hear now from Paul Douglas and our chairman, who have understand we're meeting this morning on the matter, but I've not caught up with them. I'll catch up with them this afternoon, as people know around Rotherham. I go and see my chairman every day, so I'll go and have a catch up with him, and we'll have a look at where the bids are, whether they've been accepted, whether if they are, then we can do something. If they're not, well, the chairman can decide. If he's done enough with that, then we'll have a look at others, if that's a guess.
What do you need?
We probably only need two or three players. We've settled our squad right down, which is what we've done in every previous January. You've seen the squad numbers on our board today. We don't need to make our numbers up. You're looking at me with a smile, and it's reverse, isn't it? You know, I should be interviewing, but we've got 18 first-team players. We've got, you know, three lads that need to be available, that are available, that are not in that 18, that can go and get the football somewhere else, because they're just not going to play for us in the Championship. And that tells us we're light in terms of numbers, but we're up substantially. 20, 21 players is the number that we want to work with. So you, on that calculation, you'd be saying, you know, maybe two or three players before the deadline next week.
When I asked what you need in terms of where in the squad, where do you need to strengthen? Striker would be one, would it?
Well, I thought you'd say that, and I just changed the question around. But listen, there's no point me pointing in specific areas. We'd love to be in a position where we could go and sign someone who's got a proven track record in the Championship and who scores goals. And if our supporters don't think that Steve Evans thinks like that, then they don't know Steve Evans. But they come with a price, as you know. But we've just brought Connor Salmon into the football club. He has a part to play now. We've just bought Adam Hamill and Danny Warden. Both are with us. All those three players are with us until to the end of the season. We weren't going further than that. So we've brought some people in that we can help score goals.
You said you've got 18 players available in your squad. Four are available.
Well, there's 18 players. That includes the likes of Lee Frecklington, who's, of course, injured. So we might see one of the youth team players on the bench tomorrow. That's just where we are. And it includes, obviously, Kirk and Broadfoot and Richard Wood, who have both come back from longer-term injuries, and Conor Newton, who's back, and he's been back a couple of weeks now. So, you know, we're very much leaning and meaning, hopefully keen by kick-off tomorrow.
Do you regret in any way letting other players go then, given that it's left you with 18?
No, we'd no option as to whether Tom Lawrence went back to Leicester or whether you know, the boy Ledesma went back to Middlesbrough, the boy James back to Manchester United, the boy Scott Wooten back to Leeds. We had no say in that. You know, we thought there was agreements in place that we could extend certainly three out of the four. But, you know, clubs, for obvious reasons, when we made a move to extend Scott Wooten, and when we made a move to sign James Tavener from Wigan before he went to Bristol City, the agreements with the clubs was very simple in terms of the financial agreements. We had to pay their wages. That was going to happen. But we didn't reckon on the people at board level, at both Wigan and Leeds United, no wishing them to come to Rotherham because we're in a battle with them in the league table. So, but we have to respect that. As a parent club, it's all their rights.
Is there any chance that any of those could come back?
Well, you'd never say never. You know, we'd love to see. I'd personally would love to work with Tom Lawrence again and Manuel Ledesma. I think they made us a better team. But there's, you know, there's a requirement for them at the parent club, and we have to respect that.
Ledesma, did you make a bid?
Yeah, we made a bid. For me, it was a decent offer that our chairman made, and it included further incentives to go forward for Middlesbrough. But they deemed it not to be enough. And so it's all about values. Our chairman will always pay good money for players, but it has to represent value for money. It has to have his money. It's not my money. I have to sit and give him a professional opinion. And I did say to him when he told me what he was going to authorise to be bid on Manu, I thought it was a very fair offer. I didn't think it was over the top. I didn't think it was under it. I thought it was very fair. And when, which is Middlesbrough's right, came back and said they wanted something different, then you know, that value for money feeling wasn't there anymore and with any of us sitting in that meeting.
It's clear you need goals. You would accept that, wouldn't you? And we've just seen Lafondra about to go to Bolton as we sit here now. For example, did you ever have a sniff around him?
Not in recent weeks. We did a little while back when he was first not getting in the team at Cardiff, we had a little chat, but it just couldn't be afforded. And it's about affordability. I'm sure Alfie would walk over broken coals as well to come back and play in a Middlesbrough, especially at the new stadium. He's a very gifted young man who gets a goal, and you only had to see him embracing the people from this football club when we played at Cardiff earlier this season. And but he's gone off and made a commitment to Bolton Wanderers, and although that don't affect us tomorrow night, we wish that young man great. He scored many a goal and made many a happy Rotherham United fan on a Saturday night.
There appears to have been big changes in personnel in recent weeks, which, you know, is nothing new for you really in a January transfer window, because you've done it the last couple of seasons. I guess, though, when you're down there and you don't get that immediate impact, you start getting a bit of flack. And you're getting a little bit now, aren't you? Because on the outside, people are saying, he's changing it way too much. He's changing it way too much. What's your response to that?
Well, I can only have one response. If my car's broke, what do you do?
Fix it.
I'll get the boss.
So what are you doing?
Well, the team was broke, so we had to fix it. So we think, by signing the likes of Adam Hamill and Danny Ward and Connor Salmon, we've improved us. So
we're a better squad now than you were December.
Oh, by miles. You can't compare it with Lawrence in your team and Ledesma in the team and Wooten in your team and people like that, because those guys come in and were fantastic for us. You know, we that was a carefully thought out strategy, as this one is. You know, but we lose four of those players, and it's no hidden secret we lost a couple of games in between times. When we go back to players that we're probably seeing is not good enough for the level. You know, when you step up to a new level, the first thing I've always had a duty to do is give lads the opportunity to go and play at a level. And what happens when you come up for six or seven games, Paul? You get that momentum and the newness. I'm on my pro license yesterday talking to Kevin Keegan, talking like this, and he said, I've been there, I can see where you're coming from. He was there at Newcastle when he got promoted. He gave lads the opportunity to step up, and after seven, eight games, he's thinking, hey, this is right, they're stepping up. And after 10 games, you have a doubt, and after 12 or 14 games, you're thinking, this ain't working. So it's broke. And because momentum carries you a long way in life, but it only carries you so far. And when you go up to the quality that's in the Championship every week, it's a different situation. But, you know, we're working hard and we're trying to get it right.
You need them to gel quickly, though, don't you?
Well, we probably need them to gel as much as everyone else does. You know, we're in a battle, but we're probably in a battle with 10 or 11 clubs. You know, we win a couple of games and we'll be in the middle of the table. You know, I hear certain clubs talk about, can they go and compete for the playoffs? They're sitting 4 points in front of us, and they mean it. So we have to win some football matches. It's always the hardest thing to do. We've been fortunate in the last couple of years that we've won a lot of football matches. But it's also easy to say we've stepped up to an unprecedented level. We're one level away from the best league in world football. That's a fact in terms of finance and what comes with that. And probably the Championship, I'm told by the experts, is the fifth best league in world football. So we need to pinch ourselves at times. And that doesn't mean we don't respect it. We certainly don't fear it, and we should embrace it. But we need players that can play in it on a consistent basis.
You obviously wouldn't have wanted to be in this position necessarily when you look at the table. But deep down, did you almost expect it because of the step up from League One?
Well,
because when you started off, you competed very well, and people start saying, "Woof, might be able to go again here." Yeah. But in your heart of hearts, being honest, did you expect to be in this kind of area?
Well, I didn't expect us to go again, that's for sure. I probably am frustrated that we've not had some more points than we should have had. I don't think there's anyone disputes we shouldn't have won some games. We had a 7 or 8 unbeaten run when we win a couple of them and drew 6, and we should have probably won all 8. But, you know, you don't always get what you should get in football. You know, I don't remember, other than Wolves at home, I don't remember any other point that we've taken that we didn't deserve. We shouldn't have got in against the Wolves. But I could probably name you 4 or 5, 6 games now where we should have 3 points and not none, for example. So frustrated is probably a word. But, you know, we all have to accept this is a tough league, is it? You know, I heard a supporter say to me the other day, is it not just the same as winning in League Two or League One? Well, with all due respect, if we had half or three quarters of the clubs coming from League Two tomorrow, or half or three quarters of the clubs in League One, we wouldn't be sitting here thinking it's in more than 3 points. We have a very big club coming in Bolton Wanderers, but it's the same as every week, isn't it? It's a great league to be involved in. We just have to fight a little bit harder and work a little bit smarter and score a goal.
What was tougher, trying to get out of League Two or League One, or where you are now, trying to keep the club from not dropping down again?
I think the Championship is harder because of the resources. It has to be said. That's a fact.
This is the toughest spell for you as manager. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because we were always a big club in League Two. We were always a big club in League One, and we could go toe-to-toe with anyone. And if you look at the top of the Championship, the Derby Counties, the Watfords, the Wolves, the Brentfords, they can go toe-to-toe with anyone, whether it be a transfer fee or whether it be a wage package or whatever to the player and representative. So we're not in that position. So we have to get real value for money in everything that we do, and that's what we're trying to do. We don't ask our supporters to be appreciative of how tough it is, because I'm a Glasgow Celtic fan through and through, and when I go and watch Glasgow Celtic against Motherwell, and we know Celtic's budget's 10 times Motherwell, whatever it is, I don't have any thoughts towards the Motherwell budget. I just want my team to win. So if you're a Rotherham United fan, you just want your team to win games, but arguably it's tougher than the Championship.
Pringle, what's going on?
Well, nothing. He turned in a move to Millwall, as we know. I think Ben's form dipped a little bit at that stage, but I think that's always understandable when you drop a little bit of form if you're having transfer talks but potentially leaving. The players out of contract in the summer, they hit the value that the board accepted. But you know, when I arrived at Rotherham United, I take pride in saying it, Ben Pringle was in that cupboard over there, you know, and it was locked. He couldn't get out. And we got him out the cupboard and gave him a platform. He's a fantastic young talent. And really, since the last week when I sat him down and said, well, there's nobody else coming in, there's nobody else batting our door down, so get on with your football. And it's been like a weight off his shoulders. He's been fantastic in training.
Would you expect him to sign a new contract? Do you want him to sign a new contract?
As the manager, does Steve Evans want to work with players like Ben Pringle? Absolutely, yes. But it has to be right for the football club. You know, I'd love to earn twice or three times what I earn, but, and I'm sure you would, I'm sure all the listeners would, but sometimes it has to fit within the budgets of that media outlet or that work that we work for. So our chairman and board worked really hard, or Paul Douglas did, for 4 or 5 months with Ben's representatives, and they made it clear towards the end that it was just not going to happen. But whether both parties can come back and take the wall down a little bit and get it over the line, then who knows. But you know, he's a tremendous, forget about him as a footballer, he's a tremendous young man who comes in with smile on his face every day, and we want Ben at his best because he's an asset if he's at his best.
Do you think he will? Do you think he will still be here after the summer?
I genuinely don't know. I don't know. We all know how the world of agents and football works, that if people have looked at offers for Ben personally, then they'll be telling his agent, he'll be telling him. That's how football works. You know, gone are the days where you phone up a football club and make a bid for a player. The first thing you do is you phone his agent and say, we can pay your boy this over 3 years or whatever it is, and that's how it works. He goes to his player says, I would do that if that was right, and then you go and try and agree a deal. So it shouldn't work like that, and it's against the laws of the land of the Football Association, but no one can stop it, can they?
What about players going out? I know you said you've only got 18 players, but if you can get a couple in, would you foresee some going out?
No, there'll be none of that 18 go out. There's, you know, we've gone on record as to say there's two or three players like Matt Sadler and Ryan Hall who are available, and in fact they have interest in them now. Their representatives or these guys are talking to people. That will affect nothing that we do, either bringing players in or not bringing players out. We have two long-term loan players, as in Adam Hamill and Connor Salmon, who are with us until the summer, and we have two short-term players, and Jack Barmby and Zeki Friars, and they're here for another week, 10 days to 2 weeks, so we'll see in 10 days to 2 weeks' time, first and foremost, whether we want to extend them, and two is whether they're keen to stay, and thirdly, does their parent club want that? You know, probably 3 weeks before Ledesma and Lawrence and Wooten and all that went back, we were talking to their clubs, and they were saying we're going to extend, etc. So 2 weeks is 24 hours or 90 minutes, a long time in football, but certainly 2 weeks is. But there'll be none of them. I've said it, and I've kept to my word, none of the main group will be going out that's here today.
This Bolton game, because you've had the weekend off, does this almost feel like starting again for you from this point in terms of where you are in the season and perhaps going on a run?
Well, I think it gave us an opportunity to get further time within the squad into Connor and to young Adam and Danny Ward and young Jack Barn, but they integrate over a 10-day period where we've been in all bar one day. So that's been good for us. That's been great. I don't know if I see it as a fresh start. We've got some like 20 odd games to go here in the Championship. You know that, and you're smiling because you know that 2-1s will be set mid table. They'll go and try and find a reason to moan about someone else, won't they? But all we know is we work really, really hard to get out of League Two. We work the same efforts and determination went into getting out of League One, and the same efforts and determination are going to make sure that we're a part of this Championship. It is a fantastic league to be involved in. We can't kid ourselves that. And you can understand why when the likes of Sheffield United have fantastic cup runs under Nigel. But you can understand their fans every week walking away from league games and no getting points and no seeing themselves getting promoted out of League One while they're looking for white jackets. It's such a fantastic league to be involved in. And I'm sure when Nigel came to Bramall Lane, he would give it every minute of exciting cup football just to be over the line come the end of the season.
You've had so much positivity around this place for the last few years, ever since you've been here. There may be one or two now getting a bit nervous in the stands, maybe a bit of flack. I'm not hearing a great deal, but there may well be some. What would you say to those people?
Well, I don't say anything. People pay their money, Paul. They're entitled to an opinion, aren't they? But everyone's feelings. I've had a fantastic time here at Rotherham United. Fantastic support by the Rotherham United supporters, even in the days of when we've lost at home to the Barnets and the Bristol Rovers and got smashed away at the Dagenhams and the Port Vales. But we had a real strength and a real togetherness. But, every football club, and this is in the words of the best managers ever lived, Sir Alex Ferguson, and before that, another great manager, Bill Shankly, and said, any football club's only as strong as the relationship between the manager and the chairman. My relationship today is stronger than what it was when I came out of League Two and stronger than what it was when I came out of League One. That's how strong my relationship is with the chairman.
Bolton, what a job he's done. Neil Lennon since going in. Would you have foreseen that? You know him, obviously. Would you have expected him to have the impact that he's had?
Yes. I think he was a great manager at Glasgow Celtic, and that's the club that I love. So I watch that every day, what goes on up there. He left because I think he was getting the rug pulled from under him. It's the only reason why Lenny would walk out in the dream job if you're a Celtic supporter as a kid. When the Bolton job became available, everyone in football, from every manager and coach, always said, well, whoever gets that job is going to have a good time, because what Dougie Friedman had done was put an excellent squad of players there. But what he'd also done was not get the best out of that squad. And what Neil Lennon has done is very selectively. He's been able to convince people like Big Email to come back in, and the boy Good Johnson, and he's now got Alfie coming in the door. So they're big money signings. They might not look it to the man in the street. They're big wages. But it's not about spending big wages. The Bolton fans don't care about the big wages. They want to see the team get 3 points on a Saturday. And they've been, I think their form is top four form since his time at the football club. But it doesn't surprise me in any shape or form, no.
Oh, Heskey for them. Who should you be wary of? You probably mentioned a couple of names there. Perhaps you need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they've got a plethora of options. The big boy Davis could lead the line, and they could have a young man who come off the bench for them on Saturday who looks a handful lead the line, and the boy Good Johnson dropping in, or they could go with a three up top with Feeney on way with Buster and Pace. We're talking about me having 18 players. I think Lenny's got about 45. he's trying to get players out. He's done a great job, and it's a great football club. I said it when we played up there and we lost to Ellen in the season. We felt hard done by with decisions and different things. A performance over the 90 was good and deserved more than a 3-2 defeat. But we're looking forward to it. We've had 10 days off. We're buzzing, we're ready to go, and we need our supporters behind us.
And what about team news, Steve? Anybody back in contention for you? Any issues at this point?
Well, it's a good job I don't have many issues, isn't it? We've got Lee Frecklington, of course, who's a couple, 2 or 3 weeks away. We had a double hernia, not the broken nose scenario that people were trying to say. So Lee will be missing for 2 or 3 weeks. Richard and Wood and Kurt Broadfoot will be back in the squad. And, we're all hands on deck, but it's a positive squad on deck. That tells us as well we've not got any injuries really, apart from Frex.